Welcome to the Embodied CEO Podcast. I'm Brooke.
And I'm Kirsten. We are integrative performance dietitians, entrepreneurs, and business mentors.
And we're tired of RDs not fully stepping into their power.
In this podcast, we're empowering RDs to use their fucking voice and expertise. There's not just a seat at the table for you, but you are the head of the table.
It's time to usher in a new paradigm of leadership as professionals and business owners. We're here to shake things up and have a damn good time doing it. So let's get started.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Embodied CEO. We're back for another chat. Brooke, my friend, how are you?
I am good. I am happy to be sitting down having a conversation with you to break up a crazy day, but I'm happy to be here. How are you?
I'm good. And we just saw each other live and in person a couple of days ago. I always love when that happens. And then we get to come back here and reconvene. And this topic that we're going to talk about today actually came out of a conversation we had the other day about dietitians leaving the profession and no longer practicing dietetics. I want to dig into that a little bit today. Do you know people, before I kind of go into where this came from with me and why I wanted to talk about this, but do you know anybody in your life that either went to school with you or whatever, and that has left the profession because of a variety of reasons?
Actually, a shocking amount of people, like even people that went through the internship and then were like, this is not for me. And I think getting the internship is such a challenge and like such a hard year that it kind of blew my mind that like you went through all this and you're like, oh no, not for me, not having it. And people I would say left for reasons from discouragement on what we could do and how we were treated in the clinical setting to financial reasons. So it was like a whole range of reasons, but I'm kind of shocked, honestly, thinking back. What about you?
Similar. And obviously for me, you know, it's been almost 2 decades since I did the internship. So you expect some attrition, I guess, over that time frame, right? Because people do change careers. And I know there's also a lot of second career dietitians. So the inverse of that, people stepping into the profession much later in life. But you're right. When you think about how much time we spent and how many dollars we spent to get to this point where you can call yourself a registered dietitian and you're finally legally allowed to do this, to then have so many people just completely disheartened by what they actually encounter in the profession and stepping out of the profession is overwhelming and frustrating in a sense, right? To know that we need more qualified practitioners, but it's not exactly a super welcoming space. And I feel for a lot of people, it's a space that isn't what they expected. And that might be the harder part, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I did not know what I was getting myself into. And I know I've talked about that on a previous episode, but it can be a bit overwhelming. And it definitely was not what I intended.
Explain that more to me, because I want to know, what did you expect it to be? And then what did you step into? Because you didn't go into a traditional, you know, clinical job right after. What did you have in your brain as to like, this is what this is going to be like? And then what was reality?
I thought I would go to school, undergraduate degree, I would learn all the things, and it would be a much more holistic, patient-centered approach, which is what I do now in private practice, but it was not that. It was very sterile. I had no idea that I even had to do an internship. And then I was honestly shocked by the lack of true nutrition courses. Like, if you think about it, yeah, we took biochem and metabolism and all these things, but like, my mind is blown at truly how much little practical application I received during my undergraduate years. So that was just not what I expected. And I remember being told by professors and the director of our DPD that, like, just expect you're going to make this to this and you come into this because you're here to serve others. And I'm like, well, like, of course I want to do that. But also, weird. Why am I being told I can't actually make a career and like have money or like wealth out of this? It was very, very strange to me.
And you know, that's a solid point because I think we were all told that, right? Like it was hammered home that the salary is going to suck. It's going to feel like shit. Also, come join this program, right? Also, you have to work for free for a year. I will say that in my program, because I was a biochem major before, I was going to be a surgeon. So I was in that realm. And when I switch directions, I will say the director of the program was very clear that you have to do an internship and it's not free. And also you have to pay and also you have to work for them. And yeah, this is what's happening. So I didn't know what I was stepping into, But the salary piece, it was really funny. I distinctly remember that because the salary piece to me was always, they said, you know, entry level salary, and this was back in the early 2000s, they said would be approximately $35,000 a year. And in the back of my mind, I was just like, yeah, but not for me. Like, I don't know why. I didn't think like I was special. I was just like, yeah, I just reject your reality and I substitute my own. I was like, well, don't worry. I'll figure it out when I get there, was kind of my, you know, mindset. But you're right. It is not in undergrad, the application of how we actually help people. It's a lot of, and we have to know the science, obviously. And I love the science. You and I are both such science nerds. Like, I loved learning all of it. But I want to say most of the practical application came a little bit trial by fire during my internship, but the majority of it after, honestly, when I was actually just thrown to the wolves, you know, dealing with clients myself. That's where the majority of my education has happened. And I wonder if that's why people leave, because I think some people leave even right after they have done their internship, because they never get to the place where they're like, oh, I actually feel really good in this and I know I can do stuff with this. They're just kind of in that place where like you have a bunch of knowledge, but no one's actually shown you yet what to do with it. You haven't learned what to do with it yet. So they leave before they ever really get there. I think that's a subset of people for sure.
Yeah, they don't bridge the gap very well, I would say. And, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, most of the things that I use in practice with clients, I didn't learn in school. I sought out that education or mentorship after and learned. It's so interesting. And I don't think, you know, a lot of dietitians realize what we truly are capable of. It's so interesting when I get DMs of other RDs being like, we can do that? Like, how do you do this? And the lab testing and the power of nutrition, I think we've like been made to feel small in this profession. It would be my summary. And I think that once you realize and you like open up Pandora's box, you're like, oh, I can actually help people change their lives. It's really powerful.
And it goes back to what you said earlier. We are told to stay small, right? We are told to not, and we've talked about this 1,000 times before, so I don't want to beat a dead horse, but it's a very disheartening thing to step into when you're so highly educated and you've done all of this work and you've spent all of this money, and then you graduate and then you step into a space where they're like, but also fuck you, here's $35,000, right? Right? Like you probably have that or double that in student loans, depending on how you went to school and where you went to school. And by the way, you will never move beyond this. Part of what triggered this conversation is recent conversations I've had with other RDs that have reached out to me or people that I know specifically from when I went to school, who literally walked away from the profession at the highest level of the profession in a clinical setting, right? Which we all know, clinical nutrition managers sort of, while you're in school, they're telling you that is the holy grail of nutrition, which for those of you listening who are not yet in this profession, who are you know, maybe RD-to-Bs, there are so many other things you can be doing besides clinical, and this is just one path. So clinical nutrition manager might be, you know, the top of the top on that path, but rest assured, there are probably 7,000 other paths that you can carve yourself. But my point was, this person was in that space and left because of the overwhelm, of the lack of respect, of the lack of autonomy, the lack of freedom, the expectation to work 50 plus hours, but here's your salary cap and you've been here for this many years now. And by the way, you can no longer make any more money because the system just won't allow for it. So that's one example. And another example is a person who went through everything, a person who recently came into my world, went through the entire training like we did and never even worked in the profession. I don't even know if she did the internship. I would have to ask her. I don't know if she did, but after all of that, no, she's an RD. So she did. She maintains her credential, but never worked in the field, completely moved into a different field. But at this point feels guilty letting go of her credential because it's hard earned, right? We spend so much time trying to get to this credential, but she's nowhere in the field. Because the field didn't offer her the opportunities that she was looking for to do what she wanted to do. So we lose qualified, educated people. And you said earlier, the internship is so competitive, right? What is it? 50% of people don't get in. So then out of the 50% that do get in, there are no fulfilling jobs. There are no financially suitable jobs. Because imagine you're a person who has to sustain a family on that kind of salary, right? And you're a highly educated professional next year or 2 years from now with the qualification of a master's degree, but you can't afford to take care of things. So people just leave. And we put them through all of this and they just leave. It's incredibly disheartening to me.
I would love to figure out if there's any other profession where you have a graduate level education and you're making high 30s, low 40s, and that's the expectation. Like, I just don't think that exists in 2022. And it's wild to me that we accept that as the norm. And it almost feels like we're groomed to sit down, be small, and fit into a box.
you just mentioned, you know, we accept that as a profession, the lack of payment and all that, but I don't think we do. I think probably 90% of dietitians don't accept it. However, we're, as always, left with the very few at the top. We're like, this is how it's always been. And we had to struggle at this. So why should you be making more? And it's just this thing that gets proliferated from generation to generation. It's like, well, it was hard for me, so it should be hard for you. The parent in me is always like, whatever was hard for me, I want to make it easier for the next set of people, right? Like, that's kind of where my brain goes. But also, especially in this profession, if you knew it was hard for you, wouldn't you do everything possible for the profession to move forward so that collectively we rise? Because we all get better treatment, we all get better representation, we all get better, you know, legislation around what we do. Because let's face it, we lobby all the time, we do all of these things all the time at state level, at national, nothing happens. We still have handcuffs on, we still don't get to do what we need to actually do. And then we're still told, be happy that you found a job, because there aren't a lot. And just, you know, don't complain about your $35,000 a year salary job, where we expect you to work in a long-term care facility for 50 hours a week, or cover 4 long-term care facilities.
Yeah, and I will say there's other professions, I think, that resonate with this. I was recently talking to a physical therapist who owns her own business, and she does social media marketing and different things like we do when we build an online business. And she was expressing her frustration where she no longer takes insurance and she does a cash pay model because she is so restricted too in her profession. And I was like, you know what? Maybe this isn't just an RD thing, but it's a bigger picture. Are we really making sure our healthcare is a root cause approach? And are we making sure that we have the resources available to make sure we can help people on the level they deserve?
You know, that's probably a whole separate conversation, right? But you're right, because that's, and we see it in our clients. You and I both see this in our nutrition clients. I see a lot of this with my business clients, where folks are stuck in that model of, I could help this person, but I have the resources to help this person, but, and it usually comes down to, I cannot do what I need to do with insurance, or if I choose to charge them otherwise, they are so used to these services costing $50 for a follow-up that you don't get people to pay the things that they need to be paying for the service that you actually provide. Where again, nobody would question that kind of charge from a doctor, because that's just accepted. I had this conversation with my physical therapist actually recently, because physical therapists are doctors of physical therapy, right? Physicians are doctors of medicine. Dentists are doctors of dentistry. We go to school for the same amount of time. We have to do a year of clinical work in a hospital, and yet we are not doctors of nutrition. You and I both have master's degrees. We did all of this. I went to college for 7 years. I know yours was combined, so 6 years, whatever. But we went to school for all of that time. Yet we will never hold the title doctor of nutrition. And everyone else will supersede what we do. And that is part of the reason why our salary is what it is. And it's part of the reason why the profession as a whole is not elevated. And people leave the profession. I did all of this, yet there is zero respect for the knowledge that I have and the professional that I am. It's not, it's hardly surprising that people step away from that.
That'd be so cool if they recognize this though, and we became doctors of nutrition, because it's so true. I also think the level of continuing education that's required, of how we're constantly learning because we're required to keep up our licensure and our credentials. But you are putting in extra the effort if you're going above and beyond the box that they say an RD should fill. And it's a lot. And I'm, you know, it's amazing, but I wish that it did get the recognition and respect, like even just beyond the salary piece. It's like, to be demeaned to need a doctor to write off on giving someone a boost is just like, it's frustrating as all hell, like for real.
Especially when you're listening to other healthcare providers who are not versed or educated in nutrition, and they're disregarding your opinion in that space, when you're the credentialed professional, right? A friend of mine the other day, she's also a physical therapist, she said to me, stop calling MDs doctors, because doctor is just the descriptor of the level of education. They are physicians. So let's call them physicians. Oh. Because physical therapists are doctors, right? Dentists are doctors. So doctor is just, and again, we should be, but that's neither here nor there, but it's the level of education. The profession is physician, they are physicians, but the general public looks at it as, if you are a doctor, AKA physician, you are God, you know all the things and you know everything about all the things. And I know we've talked about this before. If we were to elevate the dietitian to that level, if we were to make it clear to people that a physical therapist is a doctor of physical therapy, that a dentist is whatever, and we, you know, a veterinarian is a doctor of veterinary medicine, if we were to start changing that language around it, I think it would send the message to the consumer, to the general public, that these are all professions, and this is simply the highest level of education at this profession. And I wonder if that would make RDs feel a whole lot more appreciated and impactful, because we would be on a level playing field with the rest.
I love that so much. I'm going to change my messaging now. I'm always saying, like, if your doctor has told you this, I am not doing that anymore. I love that. You're a physician. Yeah.
That's shout out profession. To Chelsea. That's my friend Chelsea who said that to me. And I was like, whoa, mind blown. Like, I never thought of it that way, because we're all conditioned. The MD is the doctor. And well, he's a doctor of medicine. He's a physician. That's what he is, right? Like, that's the credential. But regardless, back to what we're here to talk about, the whole idea of leaving the profession, like, and I see this in older dietitians and also younger dietitians, the disheartened piece of it is what eventually drives someone to say, right, like, this is not what I expected. And that's a key thing that needs to be addressed. We need people to clearly understand what they're stepping into, and you've spoken to this before, from an education requirement, like, I didn't know all of this was coming. But then also from a you have options perspective, right? Because that's the part that's not communicated. I think everyone is told, here are the three jobs you can have. And they are school nutrition, they are clinical, or you can go work in a long-term care facility. Good luck, right? Or you can go into policy if you really stretch the imagination. But beyond that, we're not given sort of the visual of there are all these things you can do. Right? Like, you have built an entire business on this holistic root approach. I have built an entire business based on this performance integration approach, right? Like, and we know so many other dietitians in this space who have carved an entire new niche in this profession. But from what I see, even from young dietitians, this is still not being communicated in programs, in internships. I take local interns, sometimes I've actually stopped for partially this reason, from the local DI, and they walk in wet behind the ears. They have no idea that there are other options out there. They dream of other options, but they're still being told, even in 2022, by their directors, that this is the progression. You do this, you go get a clinical job, you work that for 5 years so that you know what you're doing, you get $35,000 a year, and then after that, maybe you'll get a promotion in your clinical job. But there's not this, yes, you can just step out there and do exactly what you want to do because you're qualified to do so and you can do it immediately.
I love it so much. What would you say to someone who is really disheartened by this profession? And like, let's say this someone has their RD credentials already. Like, what would be a piece of advice or something you would like to say to them?
It's a great question. And I would say to them, get back to why you entered nutrition in the first place. What do you love about it? What do you love about it? And cut out all the noise. Why do you love it? Like, what gets you excited about it? Because none of us were like, you know what sounds like a very phenomenal thing to do, study nutrition and make no money. We were all drawn to this because something got us really excited about it. Usually most of us have a story that goes with it, right? Like, this happened to me and thus I sought this out, or I worked with a great dietitian and I wanted to do that too. Get back to that and then put blinders on and disregard all the naysayers. And find one or two or five or however many people you can find who are going to be in your corner, who are going to say, yes, you can do this. Others have done it. We support you. We believe in you. If you need to find a mentor, side note, you and I are strong believers that everyone should have a mentor always, because you don't need to walk it alone. There are many of us in this profession who have walked that path before you, who are more than happy to lead someone on that path instead of saying, no, these doors are shut. So get back to what you love. And then find people who will support you. And then just unapologetically go after how you want to practice nutrition. And just don't take no for an answer.
I think you nailed it. The only thing I would add too is, as you start this exploration process, is it's okay if you change your mind. I think I probably changed my mind a couple times where I was like, ooh, this is it. Just keep pulling those threads and keep following what's going to light you up and make you excited. And know that it's okay if you don't like magically have that one thing. And I will say too, the mentorship piece, I've had really bad mentors and I've had really great mentors, but it has propelled me forward in a way that I never would have thought possible. If you're listening to this and you're like on the fence or not sure about mentorship, I totally get that too. Reach out to a peer that's doing something that you admire and do what Kirsten and I have done. You know, we call each other our business besties and we've forged this friendship where we go through this together because it gets hard and it gets tough. And some days you want to throw in the towel. And I think having someone to call and to understand, like, this is where I'm at, like, just venting is really, really supportive as you're like building up that confidence and that love for this profession again.
I love that. And I feel like none of us really do that enough, right? You and I do now, but it took us many years to kind of get to this place where we're like, wait, there's other people. I don't need to do this by myself. But maybe that's part of the profession also, right? We're very type A, very, but I have all the knowledge. I should be able to do this. And then you get to the place where you're like, but I'm also human and I'm super overwhelmed and I'm super frustrated and I'm disillusioned and all the things. And then you end up stepping away. I want to add this other piece of advice because this is something that is that you can't undo. And I feel like sometimes it feels like this is a decision you want to make, but you cannot undo it. If you are an RD, and even if you want to step away from the profession, maintain your credential. Do not let that credential go. And I will tell you that I was in a place where I was ready to let my credential go because I was so pissed off with the profession and so pissed off with what we were doing and how nothing was changing. Then I had a bunch of kids and I was like, well, I'm going to stay home with the kids for a minute anyway. And then I'm going to do this business with my husband. And it was like, I didn't need it. And I truly like that, you know, that renewal notification came and I'm like, oh, now I got to do 75 hours and I got to spend all this money. I got to do all this. And I almost let go of my credential. And like looking back now, look at where I am right now. If I had let go of my credential, none of this would have ever happened. So if you are in that spot where it feels like this is the end and you just really don't want to do this anymore, just maintain your credential, do the 75 hours, pay the fee, just do it. Because you literally never know how you, like you said a minute ago, Brooke, you will change your mind. And you may even change your mind about the whole idea of exiting the profession, right?
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of work and time and money that went into that. So I am team keeping it. Even when you feel like you need to step away and take a break.
I would love to, because I know we're about to wrap up here, but I would love for folks that are listening to this to send us some stories about how you almost left the profession or how you took a hiatus from the profession or what made you decide not to give up the profession or what made you decide to give up the profession if you truly did. I would love to hear some stories because I know we can't be the only people that A, get these messages from younger dietitians and B, have possibly thought about this ourselves. I would really love to hear from other people.
I think that's amazing. So what do you have coming down the pipeline? I feel like you have a lot of exciting things going on. We were just together planning your Q3 and Q4. So what is going on? I know behind the scenes, all the juicy details, but what do you want to share?
I feel like we need a whole other episode for that. I have a lengthy list of things going on. The nutrition side obviously always exists. So if you do have, and I'm big on referrals and I refer out all the time. So if you have folks, and we've never really talked about this, but if you have folks who are dealing with sort of functional integrative stuff and are very active, we're dealing with gut stuff, hormonal stuff, the like, that's my thing. That's what I get excited about. That's what I'm obsessed with. So my team and I work with that. So that's on the nutrition side. But from the business side, we're having the mastermind roll out again. I'm super excited about that. We also have several programs coming up. We have private coaching opportunities opening again, I want to say late August, and Voxer coaching opportunities opening up again, probably early August. So if anybody's in that stage where they need support from a business perspective, just reach out. There are many different ways we can support you, and I'm happy to have a conversation and hear what you need. And I know when we sat down and did our scheming this weekend, you have a bunch of stuff happening. Brooke, tell us, what are you doing?
I do. I think right now my biggest focus, which I'm really excited about, is growing the West Nutrition Co. team. And this fall, we're really focusing on women's health, hormones, holistic healing, and taking a root cause approach to solve digestive symptoms. That's really where our passion is right now. And so we've actually got group programs, which I'm really excited about, called the Empowered Women's Nutrition Mastermind. A lot of teaching and then going through the integration together, which is really fun. I love the group of women that's in there right now. It's really cool to see their transformation. It's only been 6 weeks. So that's pretty cool. And we are accepting one-on-one clients as well. For business, I do not have any openings for business stuff until Q4, but stay tuned.
Love it. Love it. Love it. And as always, any comments you guys have, anything you want to share with us, any future topics you want to hear from us, just let us know. Reach out to me or Brooke, and we are happy to add those. We got a couple guest speakers coming up, I think. So stay tuned for future episodes, and we will talk to y'all next time.
Bye, y'all. Thank you for listening to the Embodied CEO podcast. To connect with me, Brooke, you can find me on Instagram at westnutrition.co, and you can visit my website, westnutrition.co.
And to connect with me, Kirsten, head on over to Instagram and look for Your Fitness Dietitian, or head to yourfitnessdietitian.com on the web.
Make sure to follow, subscribe, and share the Embodied CEO podcast.
And now go out there and disrupt that status quo.